Welcome to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hi, my name is Deacon Rich Napoli. I'm normally joined by my wife, Janet, but she is home babysitting our grandchildren. So I'm here for the first time in a few months, actually. This is for various reasons. Our show is on typically on Fridays, the last Friday of the month, but in November we had Thanksgiving, and in December we had Christmas, falling on those days, and then in January we had the March for Life. So this is the first time for a few months. So nice to chat with everyone again, and I'm happy to be here in this kind of wintry day in February. A few things. One I'm really looking forward to after this show is I start my annual deacon retreat, which is something all the deacons have to do once a year, and I'll be joined by all my classmates over at the Shrine of Chester Hova, so we're very much looking forward to that. And then sort of what led to this show, I'll introduce the show in a second, but last week I had a unique privilege, at least for me, of visiting Catholic Answers studios out in San Diego last week. We're actually in some discussions, some business discussions with them, but I got a chance to meet everyone there, which for me, I have to say, those of you know my story, you know how much Catholic Answers and Catholic Radio was involved in my conversion from atheism. And so going out there was just an incredible honor and privilege to meet the people that I've heard their voices for years, but never actually met them in person. And I felt like a Catholic groupie, just running around the halls giddy as I was introduced first to Carl Keating and Jimmy Akin and Patrick Coffin and on and on and on, all these names that I had heard and listened to all those years. So I had a great time out there last week, and they have a beautiful studio there, both for not only for the audio portion of the studio, but they actually have built it in a way now it can be used for video shows as well. And I'm very jealous because we sit in our lovely little studio here in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, and it's a wonderful studio, but when you see sort of a world-class studio, it's amazing how much bigger and better it was. And as I was standing there, they have a sort of a glass panel where the control room is, and then you can look into the actual studio where the guests are on air. And as I was standing there, there was a few people there watching the show with me, and one of them was a gentleman just to the left of me and had never met, and we just started chatting. And it turns out that one of our guests on the show today, which I'll introduce in a second, his name is Steve Dawson. And the show that we were listening to at Catholic Answers was about some of what he does, which is street evangelization. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what Catholic street evangelization is. We happen to have here, in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, a number of programs as well that do street evangelization. We also have a lot in our own parish. So my parish that I serve at is St. Andrew's Parish in Newtown, Pennsylvania, and we have done a number of ministries over the past few years relating to reaching out to those, you know, that don't come to church, that are just going about their business. So I'm blessed to have two of these people all in the show together. First, Steve Dawson from St. Paul's Street Evangelization Organization that he started a number of years ago. Steve lives in Bloomington, Indiana with his wife and two children. He has spent since like 2006 really coming into his faith, determining what his ministry should be and where he should spend his time. Spent 14 months with the Franciscan Friars before discerning his call was really to work as the church as a layman. And as I said, he's the founder of the national director of the St. Paul Street Evangelization Society. He's been featured on EWTN television, Catholic Answers, of course, Catholic Connection, Crest in the Afternoon, and various other networks as well. And my other guest is Sister Pat Kelly, who taught me what street evangelization was, really, as I've watched her do it personally. In our own town of Newtown, Pennsylvania, she has an organic program that she started from scratch, reaching out to those in our town as they walk about their daily lives and of all different places and locations. So the two of them together, first of all, let me welcome you both to the show. Sister Pat, thank you for joining us. And Steve Dawson, thank you for joining us, both of you.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's really serendipitous. It kind of, Holy Spirit's always at work, even when you don't realize it. but two wonderful people that are spending their time doing the same wonderful ministry. So thank you. And maybe, to start the show, since not everyone may be familiar with this concept, I mean, this is, the notion of Catholic street evangelization is a little, unusual for Catholics. It's just not something we're typically known for. You know, we grow Catholics on birth, but we don't do, not known for going out and reaching out and pulling those in that might be curious or might be just passing by. We haven't been known for that, and yet there are some thriving ministries going on here. So, Steve, let me start with you, and just if you could just ask respond as to what is the concept of street evangelization? What is it? How does it work?
I think, street evangelization really is as old as the church. Even before the church, you know, Jesus was definitely a street evangelist himself.
That's true.
In the sense that he went out into the public areas and preached the good news of salvation and his disciples, right from the very get. If you look in the Acts of the Apostles, they're going out into the synagogues, into the public areas, into the public places, all in the Areopagus. Or not only doing street evangelization, but it also says the disciples went house to house preaching the good news. Mm. So they were doing door-to-door evangelization right from the very beginning. And isn't it a shame that, the very first Catholics in the very first centuries, in the very beginning of the church, they knew what street evangelization was. They knew what public witness was. But today, the Catholic Church, which was founded 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ himself, we've kind of lost that sense that this is something that, that Catholics do. When, in fact, it was Catholics who pioneered, really, public witness, public evangelization. I mean, even before that, you look in the Old Testament, you have the prophets of old. They were going out into the public area. So, in answer to your question, what is street evangelization? It is going out, outside of our churches, to where people gather and reaching out to those people and witnessing to them the truth and goodness and beauty of Jesus Christ and his church that he founded, and really just proclaiming the good news of salvation in Jesus.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. It is something that's a forgotten art, I think, in some ways in our faith. I do want to apologize. I forgot to properly introduce Sister Pat Kelly here. Sister Pat, I know her so well, she almost doesn't need introduction. she is raised here in Philadelphia, entered the congregation of the Sisters of St. Joseph in 1963. She has a degree from Chestnut Hill College and a master's in religious studies from St. Charles Seminary. I know that place. And assigned at St. Andrew's here doing our evangelization, a full-time evangelization ministry, which I think for a parish to have is just a beautiful thing. So, Sister, I'm sorry, I apologize, and let me ask you a question. So, why is this so much more needed now than before? What's changed, why aren't other ways of evangelization as effective anymore?
Well, as you know, Rich, there's so many evangelizing aspects of ministry at St. Andrew. But I agree with the fact of Steve's great emphasis on why this is so important now. It existed, so many years ago, of course. But now I'm finding that although there are some persons who come knocking on the door and coming to RCIA programs, there are many more that we really need to go out to. And Pope Francis, of course, has said so many things in that regard. He said, go out into the streets, look, find, knock on doors, instruct, evangelize, go to the peripheries. And actually, as believers, the Holy Spirit's always sending us on a journey. And I think in terms of today, when you think about the amount of advertisements ads all over the place all the time. Why not also proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ along the way? Why not share the joy of the gospel? And in doing so, as Steve mentioned, going out to various locations, I think it's not only the obviously the geographical locations that you meet people, but in meeting them, you're also meeting them where they are spiritually, where they are emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Not just physically.
And yeah. If you're blessed to have a conversation while you're there at various locations, I think that's the invaluable aspect of meeting people. You hear where they are, and in doing that, as you said, the Holy Spirit's at work all the time,
yep.
And you may or may not know the fruit of that conversation.
Right.
And the stirring that can eventually lead to.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of a return. I mean, we're about re-proposing the faith to those who have already heard the gospel.
Right.
At some point in their lives. And both John, you know, along with Pope Francis, but Pope John Paul II and Benedict have said that over and over again. It's a new evangelization. New because you're speaking to those who at one point, probably in their lives, who have heard the good news at one point. The Church of former Catholics is the second largest denomination in the United States. So
that's a sad statement.
It is.
As a business guy, I sometimes joke that the Catholic Church is a great product but lousy marketing. And I think this street evangelization is sort of an attempt to address that, to say, look, if you're going to appeal attractive in the modern world, you have to use the tools of the modern world. And, of course, we're all using all the modern technology tools, but at the end of the day, it still comes back to that that one-on-one type of communication, a face-to-face communication to re-express the Gospels in modern language, in modern terms. So I think you're absolutely right, and I'm so glad we're doing this. Steve, I want to, you know, turn back to you there. Obviously, I think people now may be able to put in their heads an idea of what street evangelization is, but maybe not understanding, you know, how does it take place? What are the different venues? What are the different methods? What are the different tools that you use to sort of reach out to people? Can you just give us a few examples that you've used or seen used in the past?
Sure. Well, I think maybe even it'd be good to go back a little bit further to my pre-street evangelization days, to the days just after my conversion, when I had a lot of zeal and I was learning about the church. I was learning about the doctrines of the church and about her mission and really about the reason that the church exists. What was it? And as I was learning, I learned that the reason that the church existed was to evangelize, and that evangelization for the disciple of Christ was necessary. It's not optional, you know. And I had a lot of zeal. I came from a very, I was leading a very wicked life, wicked lifestyle, and because of that, I think God needed to really wrap me over the head and knock me out, so to speak, knock me off my horse, you know.
Yep.
But He gave me the gift of incredible amount of zeal and desire to learn about the faith, and as I was growing in my knowledge, I learned that, you know, if I wanted to save my soul, I needed not only to stop sinning, which by God's grace, I was able to at least get out of the major sins that I was in, the mortal sins. But also to share the truth of the gospel with other people. So I learned that evangelization was necessary for salvation. I knew for sure that if I wanted to be saved, I needed to share my faith. And so I would begin asking myself, you know, how do I evangelize? I was listening to a lot of Catholic radio, Catholic television, learning a lot of things and reading books that were coming out. And everywhere I saw, you know, the new evangelization, we need to be evangelizing. You hear this all the time. But I wasn't really sure how to go about and implement that in my own life. So, I mean, I began talking to my family and my friends about Jesus and, even coworkers, I began to be that guy that, you know, if I came into the room at work, they'd be like, oh, here's the Jesus guy, you know. But I knew that I was being called to do more, to reach outside of my sphere of influence, or the people that God has put into my life a little bit more. Like, so I was thinking, well, how do I evangelize that those people that I didn't have a prior relationship with, but God happened to put them in my life? So, for instance, a waitress or a cashier or a gas station attendant or that sort of thing. So,
right.
So I heard the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe, and what he would do is hand out miraculous medals. He would never leave the friary and go out into a public place without evangelizing, primarily by using the miraculous medal.
Interesting.
And so I thought, well, I can do that. I can hand out miraculous medals and, you know, see what happens. Allow the Holy Spirit and Our Lady to kind of come in. St. Maximilian called the miraculous medal Our Lady's silver bullet. He really believed that if you could get one into a person's hand, that Our Lady could move them. So I thought, I can do that, you know. So I went out and I bought 1,000 miraculous medals. I was determined to give them all out.
Wow.
And I handed out, you know, well, 1,000 of them. I handed out hundreds within, you know, months. And like Sister had said, you don't really know what kind of fruit is being born, like, from doing that. I had no idea, but God did show me. So, for example, I was at a restaurant, and I gave the waitress a miraculous medal, and she said, oh, thanks so much. And I said, great. I told the story of the miraculous medal, and she said, oh, that's so great. My boyfriend is Catholic. Mm-hmm. I said, well, have you ever considered becoming Catholic? And she said, I have, but, you know, I don't agree with all of the teachings of the church. Like, some of them I disagree with, like on abortion. I think that sometimes it should be okay in certain situations. And so I was sitting there, and I just, with my friends, we just explained to her simply, a very simple explanation, that from the moment of conception, a new human life has come into existence. God has brought that human soul into existence. And it's not up for us to decide who lives or who dies. You know, that's up to God. So anyway, it was very simple. It wasn't deep theology or anything like that. And she was grateful, and we left that restaurant. And I thought I'd never see her again. But some other friends and I went back to that same restaurant about 3 or 4 months later, and she recognized me immediately. She ran up and said, sit down, I have to tell you something. That day that you gave me that miraculous medal, I had just found out I was pregnant, and I was going to have an abortion.
Oh, my.
But I knew that God had sent you for me to be a sign for me to keep my baby. And so it was... If I hadn't gone back at that restaurant at that very time on that day, I hadn't been there in months before. I might not have gone there ever again. Really, I don't think I've been there since. But
right.
if I hadn't have gone there, I wouldn't have known that there was any fruit to that experience. So it was experiences like this and the confirmations that God was giving me by just these little glimpses of His grace working through those simple 2-minute conversations that were struck up by a miraculous medal that started the idea of kind of going out into public in a more kind of formal way by going out and handing out miraculous medals and rosaries. So that's a long way to answer the question. What does it look like? To answer it is just we go out somewhere, we set up a table, put miraculous medals, rosaries, pamphlets, maybe books, Catholic books, you know, that sort of thing. And as people walk by, we just engage them in conversation. Hey, would you like a free rosary? Hey, would you like a free miraculous medal? Hey, we have a whole bunch of stuff over here. It's all free. Why don't you check it out? So that's how we start the conversation. And usually, you know, it's just friendly conversation, but once in a while, you just have really just amazing conversation.
Right. I think, and that's what it's really all about. I mean, it's wonderful to have those conversations. But as Sister and both of you said, you know, even just starting it with a rosary or miraculous medal, you don't know where that's going to lead and open their hearts eventually. So let me just remind everybody that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 in Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, on the show Deacon Dialogues. And I have with me as my guest today Sister Pat Kelly from St. Andrew's Parish, and Steve Dawson, the president of St. Paul's Feet Evangelization. I have a terrible memory. I'm sorry. And we're talking about what is street evangelization, how does it work, how to get started. So, Sister, I'd like to go to you a little bit and just ask you, I'll come back to Steve to get a little bit more of his story of how he got to where he is, but how did you get into street evangelization and what, you know, obviously you kind of just started on your own, but what led you to that?
Well, first of all, too, I want to thank Steve for his St. Paul Evangelization Ministries, and he mentioned materials like rosaries, simple things, crosses, leaflets. I thank you for them because they've been so fruitful for our ministry on street evangelization, so affordable that it's a great blessing. And I'm extending some ministry over to a Hispanic community, and just to know that all those brochures are available in Spanish, which is terrific. So thank you, Steve. Thank you. And one of the other when you mentioned the table, I just had a quick recall of a moment that was it was deep for me when I think about these tables that we set up in various places. I think really for us as ministers there, those tables really emanate from our Eucharistic table, which is the source of all grace and mission. Mm. So I feel that deep connection when we are out there doing this ministry. It's extending the table, really.
Beautiful.
And when I was sitting in the hospital cafeteria a couple weeks ago, setting up the table for staff, housekeepers, visitors to family.
Is this at St. Mary's Hospital?
St. Mary's. They're very good in allowing us to do that. I thought of the Pope's image of the church needing to be a field hospital.
Yes.
And I thought, here I am in a hospital with this little table, which in a sense is a kind of field hospital exchange for all those who are ministering in so many ways right there in that hospital.
Yep.
So I'm very grateful for getting started. And the getting started that Rich just asked is we're sort of undramatic. Newtown, where I minister, always has a market day, and our parish pastoral council thought it was a good idea if we set up a table like the other merchants do. And so we did. And as I was setting that up with some materials, et cetera, and exchanging with the people, I thought, you know, we could do this in other times and in other places, too, because it was very fruitful. And so one of the things, one of the first times following that, I set up tables in various places where I distributed surveys. And as I mentioned, you know, our particular outreach is to those who have not been active in the faith. And so the surveys really were for them. And so we had some signage here and there and invited people to take one of these surveys and help us understand what it is that keeps them away and what it is that what would be needed to get them back, you know. Right. And we wanted to learn from them. And it was the surveys we had about over 250 returned.
Wow.
And we were affirmed, I would say, more than new learning on what were some of the things that kept people from continuing to be active in the church. But some wrote their names down, and in doing so, they knew it could be anonymous, but we knew that we would be in touch. They knew that we would be in touch. And so it also gave us some more opportunities for conversation, and they were grateful for that. So And from then on, in these past 4 years, we have continued to set up tables in various places. The hardest thing being to find the merchants who would be open to that. But Acme's, hospitals, fairs, outreach centers, bazaars, bakeries, corner bakeries.
The college.
The Bucks County Community College and their club fair. So there are opportunities. And when you can go back again, people almost begin to look for it, you know, and wonder. And that's
been
my
same face. You're still there.
That's right. And I'm accompanied always, if not always, frequently by my members of my team, my evangelization team, which is good. And then, of course, we start at drive-through prayer, but I'll stop and there may be some other things that Steve may want to talk about.
Yeah, we'll come back to the drive-through prayer because I think that's particularly interesting.
Yeah.
But, Steve, I want to just ask you as well. You talked about, you know, you bought the miraculous medals and gave them out. How did that evolve from that to what the St. Paul Street Evangelization Organization is today?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I would say the primary answer is God's grace. How does St. Paul Street Evangelization get where it is today? God's grace, the Holy Spirit. Hopefully we're being docile to the Holy Spirit. But more specifically, you had mentioned that I was with the Franciscan Friars for a while. I learned more about spirituality while I was in formation there. I spent 14 months with the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate. And one of their patrons is St. Maximilian Kolbe. And so this, like I had said earlier, this really inspired me to try to, you know, engage people using, well, sacramentals, the rosary, the miraculous medal. And what I found is that, you know, if you were in, let's say, a grocery store, and you're in the cereal aisle, you're walking down, and there's a lady who has maybe a screaming child, you know, and she's just flustered. And you look at her, and you just say to her, you know, I can see you're having a hard time. Can I tell you about Jesus, right? That's weird to me. That's strange, right?
Right.
If I were the lady, I'd be like, oh, my gosh, no thanks. You know, that would make me even more flustered, right? But you could take that same lady, and she could have she could be having a problem and said, you could say to her, you know, I see that, God bless you for your motherhood. I just felt inspired to offer you this gift to say thank you. And this, here's a free miraculous medal. Hmm. 9 out of 10 times, the lady is going to be very grateful and she's going to accept the medal. And most of the time, she'll just, you know, smile, but some of the time, that will start further conversations right there in the grocery store. I've had many 5, 10, 15-minute conversations right in the middle of the aisle in the grocery store started in a similar way. So for me, I recognize that you could easily start conversations using these tools that God has given us, these channels of grace, these sacramentals. So how really the apostolate grew was just, first, I knew I was called to evangelize. Second, I had no idea how to do it, but I heard the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe about passing out the miraculous medal. Third, just doing it. Start passing them out, like in the grocery store, to your waitress, at the gas station. I force myself to give out one miraculous medal if I go out somewhere, just like St. Maximilian Kolbe did. And then from that, recognizing that, well, if it works in the grocery store, it could work anywhere, you know. And so I just, really what happened was I would end up talking to my friends. I'd say, listen, you know, when was the last time you were out somewhere and you saw Catholics evangelizing in public?
Mm-hmm.
And over and over and over again. I never got someone who said, oh, last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Or even 5 years ago, it was never.
Right.
Everybody said never. I had never seen it.
Right.
I said, well, why don't we just, like, do something about that? Why don't we just go out somewhere, put a table up, or, you know, just start talking to people? And we tried it. And we were amazed at the power and the action of the Holy Spirit in so many conversations. We were seeing people coming back into the faith or, converting to the faith and all these sorts of different things. People, you know, somebody would come up and first they're yelling at us and the next thing you know, we say, well, can we pray for you? And they say, okay, sure. And we say a prayer and all of a sudden they're bawling their eyes out. They're just sobbing, crying, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So the Holy Spirit was so it went from that simple idea to giving out the miraculous medal to going out myself to then I thought, well, wow, why aren't other Catholics doing this? I know Sister is doing it, but mm-hmm. at the time I didn't know of any other Catholics doing this.
Right.
And I just thought that if I could like share this with other people, then I thought I could inspire other Catholics to do the same thing. If I could just tell the story of the experiences, that we could inspire others. So I simply just set up like a Facebook. I used social media, and I would take pictures of our outings, and we'd tell the story. We'd tell stories of things that happened to us and post the pictures, and it spread. It spread like wildfire. Now, today, we have 350,000 people following us on Facebook just for just one means of
wow.
of communication. And some weeks we reach over a million. So,
wow.
That's yeah, so it spread very rapidly.
By your fruits you shall be known.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Steve. You know, I want to remind everyone again, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 in Coatesville. The show is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your guest, Deacon Rich Napoli. I do have we're talking about street evangelization today, and I have as my guest, Sister Pat Kelly from St. Andrew's Parish in Newtown, and Steve Dawson, President of St. Paul Street Evangelization. I forgot to give out our number. This is a live show. If any of you have questions, feel free to call us at 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570. I want to turn now for both of you to, you've all been doing this for some number of years now, and I'm sure you have your share of both war stories and God stories of things that have happened to you on the street with particular individuals. And I was going to ask you if you were interested in or can share maybe whatever, whichever one you prefer to share, some of the challenges you faced or some of the blessings you saw with the Holy Spirit in action. So, Sister, let me ask you first, any particular people that you saw be changed by this in a profound way?
Well, just to recap on what Steve was saying there about the Catholics getting into this again. When I was standing in front of the bank one day, mm-hmm. One of our parishioners drove by, and he jumped out of the car and just said, I have been waiting for this to happen for a long time. That was Michael Logan.
Yeah.
So that was great. Another one of our parishioners, when he sees or notices someone who is poor or asking for money, he has these bags prepared in his car, and the little bags contain a couple dollars and a pair of rosaries or a medal. So I just was touched by that, and he's been doing that for years. Mm. You know, he really has.
Wow.
As far as some personal experiences, first, let me say of resistance. This one man, and this happens rarely for me, but that he did. He was angry that I would be trying to share the good news on
wow.
the street when he didn't think the Catholic Church had a lot of good news, you know.
Yep.
And so we had a little exchange. He went into the store, and he said, you know, he came out. He said, you know, I think maybe I have to rethink this. And he gave me a big hug, which I thought was
wow.
pretty quick. Pretty quick rethinking. I appreciated that. When I've experienced this one woman came up. I didn't even realize that she was even from London. I didn't know that right away. And she came up to our table and she said, look at this stuff. She said, I'm angry at God. What's all this about? And I,
wow.
And I said, are you? And she said, yeah. She said, my baby died.
Hmm.
And I said, oh, I said, I am so sorry. And I said, though you may find this difficult to believe, I said, I think God probably cried when your baby died also. And I said, would you ever be open to my sending you anything? You know, maybe I was conscious of a couple very good books on grief in that regard. And she said, sure. So that's when she wrote down her address, London.
Oh, wow.
But I have since had exchange with her
over
there. And she was Catholic and I think is taking some moments to that again.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So I appreciated that. And the opportunity, as Steve said, to engage. I mean, even so simple as, you know, what do you do when you get baptized? You know, is the church care about human trafficking? These are questions recent to me.
Mm.
If I wanted to join a church, how do I register?
Mm.
Do you have any materials on annulment?
Mm-hmm.
And then the misconception sometimes of persons who are divorced, thinking that they no longer are welcome in the church.
Right.
You have some opportunities to exchange on that.
Yeah. You know? I can remember, Sister, you're talking about being open to them. When I first was ordained a few years ago, and you and I went to a house for dinner with some fallen away Catholics, and I watched, I still remember how much I learned from you that day, because I'm all there with all the, you know, knowledge from the seminary. I got all the answers, and they didn't want to hear the answers. They wanted to hear compassion. They wanted to feel Christ through you before they would start to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you were engaging them in a very sensitive human way that would have had them open up if I wasn't jamming theology down their throats. But there is that notion that, you know, until you step into their pain and acknowledge their pain, nothing else will happen, that you have to engage them that way first. Mm-hmm. Let them get their venom out, all their hatred, and then you can have a dialogue. Then you can start to have some discussion.
Yes, the listening is healing in itself.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Steve, how about you? Some stories. I know your book, you have a book which we haven't even mentioned yet, a book called Catholic Street Evangelization. It's stories of conversion and witness, and it's filled with various, not only your own conversion story, but significant stories of people you have met on the street that have been changed by the street evangelization efforts that you've put out there. So can you share one or two of those with us?
Sure, sure, I can. So let me just first say that we didn't really cover in the book too much about resistance or bad experiences out on the street.
That's true.
Because it's really, really surprisingly rare that we have really bad experiences out on the streets. In fact, I don't think I've ever left, and I've done street evangelization hundreds and hundreds of hours now, maybe even thousands. And I could just remember maybe a handful of times where somebody got, you know, was angry. Maybe one in a, one in hundred.
Right,
I mean,
right.
that it was just like, wow, that was not good. Maybe one in 500. I think it's really that rare. Now, I think it's because we, at least our method, is we're not in your face, right? We're not, if somebody doesn't want to talk to us, if somebody hates our guts or hates the Catholic Church, usually they'll just keep walking.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, I really believe that we would have a lot of, it would be a lot of debate, and that we would be, it would primarily be a work of apologetics. And I was really wrong. It's not primarily about debate, it's about, you know, making relationships, even in a 5-minute conversation, making a relationship and making common ground and listening, like Sister said, and talking to people from a place of compassion. And so, but thanks for mentioning our book. It's It's brand new. It's just out February 2nd. It's an Ignatius Press book. It's called Catholic Street Evangelization. It's on Amazon, and you can get it at Ignatius or from our own website, streetevangelization.com.
Or you can get it like I did by standing next to you at Catholic Answer Studio.
Yeah, and really, I might as well just say that that the reason why I was at Catholic Answers is we have teams in the San Diego area, but I was the guest previous. I was on Catholic Answers previous to when you showed up.
So okay.
I was on the hour before, and Patrick Coffin and I had been out earlier in the day evangelizing with our teams, and so we were talking about the apostolate and more in depth about the book than we'll be able to cover today.
Sure.
So if any of your listeners, I think, would like to learn more about our St. Paul Street Evangelization or more details about the book, simply just go to the Catholic Answers website at Catholic.com, go to the radio tab, and just look under the radio calendar. And so last Friday, I was the first hour guest.
Okay,
so there's a lot there. I'm not trying to send people away from your radio station.
Well, we're an EWTN affiliate, so we're all one big family here.
Yeah, so there's a lot more information there. But so stories from our book. So the book is a compilation of stories of conversion that, first and foremost, my conversion story, but the conversion of many of our evangelists around the country. And, well, I'll just tell the story of Uzi Mendez.
Mm-hmm.
So he was he was born in New York, but he is... Anyway, I'll tell the short version. How about the two-minute version?
There you go.
He was a gangster. He was he grew up in Chicago, born in New York, grew up in Chicago, Illinois, and he found himself the head of a gang, the Latin Cobras.
Mm.
And he didn't really, he wasn't really happy to be in the position, but his brother was the leader, and his brother was died of cancer.
Mm.
And he ended up taking over the leadership position, a violent gang. And the rival gang at the time was the Latin King, one of the largest gangs in Chicago. And, well, they thought it would be a good idea to take out Uzi. So they did a drive-by shooting and shot him 9 times.
Oh, my gosh.
They left him for dead, and they thought he was, they thought he was dead. But he wasn't. You know, miraculously, he was preserved from death, and he ended up on his back in recovery for months and months and months in the hospital. And that's when he started praying the rosary. So he had a powerful conversion from being a gang member to praying the rosary in the hospital to now he's a street evangelist for us in Chicago. And he ministers, you know, to everybody who he runs into, but also to the gang.
To the gang,
so there's
sure.
one story, he's in the gang territory, and a couple gang members walk up to him and they said, "You know what? We don't need your church. We're part of the biggest gang in Chicago." And Uzi said to them, I don't know if I'd say this, but Uzi said, "Well, I'm part of the biggest gang in the world." And they said, "Well, what gang is that?" He said, "It's the Catholic Church, and here's my gang sign," and he made the sign of the cross. And so that wouldn't have been my method, but that's what Uzi came up with.
Sure.
And anyway, he ended up speaking with them for a few hours and took them to Mass, and then introduced them to the priest. And by the end of the day, they had both gone to confession. So, falling away Catholic gang members. So that's just one of the stories.
Yeah.
Many, many stories in the book. But that's just one of them.
Yeah, that's
and they're all very good.
Right. I read one there about some young man, Matt, that came up sort of out of the blue, and you gave him the miraculous medal and some reading material, and you said usually they just take the reading material and go away, but he sat right there and read the whole thing in front of you and asked questions and then sort of ended with, "Where's the nearest Catholic church?"
And that was actually in Boise, Idaho, and the evangelist said to him, "Well, the church might be closed," you know, as he was running to the church, and he said, "Well, then I'll wait."
I
think that one of the pamphlets that he read was... it was the good news pamphlet we have as the gospel message. So,
and
I'll wait then, you know. So I don't know. We lost communication with him. We never had communication
with
him beyond that encounter.
That
but it was just, you know, striking.
Yeah. No, that's okay. You planted a seed and fertilized it, and it grew right in front of you. That's pretty amazing. Let me just remind our listeners again, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 in Coatesville. The show is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. We're here talking about Catholic street evangelization, which may sound like an oxymoron, but I assure you it's not. And we have as our guest Sister Pat Kelly from Newtown Parish, St. Andrew's Parish in Newtown, and Steve Dawson, author of the book Catholic Street Evangelization and president of St. Paul Street Evangelization Ministry. And so I guess, you know, we only have about 15 minutes left. I want to sort of start asking both of you to, you know, offer some advice for those who are listening who may be thinking that this is something they want to get involved with, either at their parish level or perhaps even on an individual level or as part of St. Paul Street Evangelization. You know, what advice do you have for them? Let me start first with you, Sister. You know, you've done this homegrown here at St. Andrew's. You know, advice for those thinking of doing the same thing?
Yes, and I was speaking with a woman last night whom Steve inspired when he was here for the World Family Meeting. And, you know, I said to her, one of the hardest things for us is to find, aside from the door-to-door evangelization, which we have not begun to do, but the hardest thing was trying to find merchants that would permit us to be there, mm-hmm. you know, it's worth asking and you will find them. And then, to, gather people, who will be willing to, be at a table for a time, get some worthwhile materials that people would, be interested in forms of medals, rosaries, books, pamphlets, CDs, and Steve said something very important. We're a gentle presence there. We are not in your face.
Right.
And to let people approach, we don't actually even invite people over. We let the Holy Spirit take care of that. Mm. Just to protect the fact that we're on this property. There may be a store here that may and disinvite us if in any way we're too strong with any of the customers, you know. So that's one thing that we have been careful about. And I usually take materials for follow up, even if it's simply writing down the name of the person, their questions. And we if we don't have the answers there, we try to, or the materials, we try to follow up as soon as possible and connect as much as possible with that. And I also try to be aware of the given traffic in the area. From personal experience, what I mean by that is human traffic. We could have male persons walk by. I've had them become interested in.
Sure.
We've had painters on the top of the building yell down to me, "Hey, sister, nice going. Could you save me one of them?" So we take in the whole thing, you know, in terms of wherever we may be, knowing the Holy Spirit, again, is always at work.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Okay. And then, Steve, you have, with your ministry there, your group, you have a whole way of different ways people can get involved and start their own chapter, you know, and you have training programs and so on. Do you want to describe some of those for our listeners?
Sure. I know we only have a few minutes left, so I just want to first address, so I know Sister goes into shops and she'll set up a table. Usually, about, I'd say 99% of our teams, what we prefer is to set up in public areas, so a public street corner, a public park, a public in front of a library. So usually, most times, you can set up in a public area, usually in the same areas that you might see the Jehovah's Witnesses or somebody like that. If you're in a public area on a public sidewalk and you're not in people's way, usually you can set up. You don't need permission at all.
Mm-hmm.
There might be specific ordinances that restrict certain types of signage or certain types of tables. But then, you know, our teams just, one of my favorite things to do is I bring a little Red Rider wagon. Actually, it's not a Red Wagon. It's my mobile evangelization tactical unit. And so I just go out with the mobile evangelization unit, and I'll just go set up somewhere. You know, if you could roll a stroller out and park it somewhere, you
sure.
can roll a little Red Wagon. You
sure.
see people doing it all the time. So I'll just put my pamphlets and rosaries in the little Red Wagon, and I'll roll out to the street corner, maybe 4th and Main, just set up. I'm not in people's way, and I'll just start handing out rosaries, talking to people, passing out tracts. And you don't need any permission at all. So, also on university campuses, there's usually free speech zones, et cetera. So lots of our teams set up in front of public libraries, public street corners, that sort of thing. And only some of the time, you know, would we be actually in a private property situation where we'd need specific
permission.
So,
right. Okay.
From that, first I suggest all of your listeners, get our book. It's great. If you search, the internet for
yep.
Catholic Street Evangelization book, I'm sure you'll be able to find it, you know. Amazon has it, or Ignatius Press, it's a new release. Second of all, we have all sorts of online training for our members. If you go to our website, go to members, and then you can sign up to be a member. We ask our members, because it costs us money to produce all these resources, we ask for a small pledge. But if a person can't afford it, or even if they don't want to make a pledge, there's a little way to get exempted. Just click the link at the bottom of that page there, and you can fill out a form and get a free membership. The only thing that a free member doesn't have access to that a pledging member has access to is access to our members-only store.
Sure.
So we, starting from my 1,000 medals, distributing 1,000 medals a year, whatever, now we're distributing about 1 million miraculous medals a year. So we order 100,000 a month, So if you can buy those in our public store, they're one price, and for members, they're half price. So you can get 100 high-quality miraculous medals in our members-only store for $12.
Wow. $99. Oh, my gosh.
So,
okay.
A lot of Catholic bookstores would purchase for us and stuff like that from us. And on top of that, we have evangelization training and apologetic training, evangelical apologetics. And then we come into parishes and dioceses. We've been to Philadelphia before under Megan Coakley. Doing trainings in Philadelphia. We're training seminarians throughout the country, deacons, training them in evangelization, then actually going out on the streets and doing it. So our training is for all Catholics.
Right.
Even if a Catholic doesn't particularly want to do street evangelization, well, we all need to know how to share our faith with those that we come into contact with in our daily lives.
Sure.
How do I share my faith with my brother-in-law, right?
Sure.
So this is the training for you. Just go to our website.
And what's your website name again? What's your website name?
StreetEvangelization.com.
StreetEvangelization.com. All right. Well, thank you, Steve. And
we're
just about wrapped up here. We have a minute or two left. I did want to talk a little bit about some of, at a local level, what's going on at St. Andrew's Parish for our own evangelization efforts. I will lead off with one that's close and dear to my heart, which is the Christ Renews His Parish renewal weekends that we've been running at St. Andrew's for a couple of years now. The men's weekend is coming up April 9th and 10th, and the women's weekend is coming up April 23rd and 24th. And it's a beautiful way to rediscover and renew your relationship with Christ. I've seen amazing transformations on the men and women that have gone through it. It's just been such a blessing for us. And, Sister, you want to talk about some of the other ones?
Yeah, some other things. Attending to the needs of persons, families with special needs. March 5th, 10 to 11, at our old church in St. Andrew. You're welcome, all little ones, big ones, families with special needs, and those who wish to support them, very welcome. We're having a talk regarding anxiety called Fear to Faith. Most welcome, March 21st, 7:30 to 8:30 in St. Andrew Old Church. Once a month, we have a festival of praise The next one is March 17th, then April 28th, and then May 19th at 7:30 in our main church. Very welcome, particularly particular invitation to our youth. And then we're having John Humphreys speak on Laudato Si, the Pope's encyclical, on April 25th at 7:30. All are welcome.
Wow, thank you, Sister. As you can tell, Sister has been doing this for a while. We have a very rich ministry here at St. Andrew's. Listen, I want to thank you both, Sister Pat Kelly and Steve Dawson, for being my guest today. It's been a most instructful and somewhat serendipitous encounter with you, Steve, and I wish you all the best in your ministry and continued blessings for all that you both do in service of the Lord.
Thanks, Deacon.
And thank you, Deacon Rich,
for your
ministry.
Thank you very much. God bless everyone. See you next time. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.